Lancaster Baptist Podcast features the dynamic preaching and teaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, the senior pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church. The purpose of this podcast is to help others love God, grow together through the teaching of God's Word, and serve others in the name of Jesus Christ.
I've entitled the message, When the Lord Builds the House. When the Lord builds the house, and what's different about it when He builds the house. Psalm 127, verse 1. And I'd like you, since it's kindergarten night, since they can read, I'd like you to read with me Psalm 127, verses 1 through, let's go ahead through verse 5, all the way down through the psalm, and read it with me. Psalm 127, beginning in verse 1, ready, begin. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. Let us pray. Father, please bless the reading of your word to our hearts and help every family tonight, every parent, every grandparent, every child. Help us to learn the difference when you build the house. Lord, we don't want to see what we can do in our families or what we can do in this church. We want to see what you can do. And so help us to learn your ways tonight. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When it comes to the subject of children, the Bible has a lot of important things to say. Our society may not always want to hear them, nor will they always follow the counsels of the Lord. But when it comes to the subject of children, we would be wise to hear from the originator of the family, the Lord Himself. First and foremost, we know even from the text tonight that God's Word teaches us that life begins at conception. The Bible says in the passage before us that the fruit of the womb is His reward. Contrary to Planned Parenthood, contrary to many in elected office today, and to much public opinion, the matter of conceiving of a child is not something that is to be looked upon lightly. It is not something to be looked upon as an option. It is not the matter of a woman's choice to take. It is a matter of God's gift and a matter of a miracle according to the Word of God. Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. God said, I recognize the life that's there in the womb. And we as Bible-believing Christians stand for the sanctity of life and believe in it. And it's a miracle as we witnessed this past week and saw a beautiful miracle. Delaney Lynn, as she came out screaming and kicking and breathing, the miracle of life, but we recognize that miracle was underway long before we held her in our arms. So the Bible speaks about the importance of life beginning in a mother's womb. That's not a political matter. Again, that's a Bible matter. And we want to recognize the sanctity of life. Secondly, the Bible teaches us that children are an heritage of the Lord. I think all of these parents would agree tonight that these little ones who came across this platform are a gift from God. Our youngest son, Matthew, we were told for 9 months he would be a girl. And all the tests said it was going to be a girl. And so we had girls' names galore. And all of a sudden, Matthew was born. And we quickly did research. We had to give him a name for the birth certificate. And we chose the name Matthew because it means gift from God. And every child is a gift from God. And we must recognize that and how we thank the Lord for it. You know, times have changed. And if you haven't had a baby or a grandbaby, haven't been down to the maternity ward lately, it's really an eye-opener anymore. I was amazed as I was going in and out of the waiting area that because of all of the paternity issues and because of all of the weird kinds of scenarios with people not really knowing whose child it is and people who've split up from the natural father and already with someone else, and because of all of the strains of sin and difficulty in our culture, that before you can even go to the waiting room to wait for a grandbaby or a baby, you have to go through security. And it's not just a lightweight security. It's more intense than the airport security. I mean, it's not a body scanner yet. That may be coming. But you walk through the x-ray and then you empty your pockets and you take off your belt and you take all these things out and then you get wanded just to go in because of the dangerous situations that have developed around not knowing who the parent is or someone coming in to cause a problem. And immediately your mind is arrested to the fact that, boy, this isn't Mulberry. Times have really changed. And then I think about what the nurses said to John and Christine, and as they were preparing Christine for the birth of Delaney, one of the questions was, now, are you guys married? And they said, yes, we are. And the nurse said, wow, we don't see a lot of that. And they said, you're doing a good thing. We don't see a lot of that. Ladies and gentlemen, God instituted marriage and the family. And we want to love people that have children out of wedlock or maybe are living outside of the boundaries of marriage. When we meet them, we want to love them and bring them to the Lord. But we want to help them to understand that the Bible teaches that His plan, God's plan, is the family and that children are an heritage of the Lord. I heard about a group of expectant fathers that were in a waiting room and all of their wives were in the process of labor and delivery. And a nurse came in and announced to one man that his wife had just given birth to twins. And he was overwhelmed. He said, that's an amazing coincidence. I played baseball for the Minnesota Twins and I had twins. And he just couldn't believe it. He was telling all the men there in the room. A few minutes later, another nurse came out and she told another man that he was the father of triplets. And he said, that is awesome. He said, I work for the 3M company and I had triplets. Amazing. He was just so excited about that, you know. And they all looked at the guy over in the corner, and he just looked as sick as he could be. He was sitting there thinking about something. They said, man, what's wrong? He said, you know, I work for 7-Up. Now, children are the heritage of the Lord. Seven at a time, you know, a mother might debate that verse. I don't know. But truly, tonight, we as families and as a church family ought to thank God for the gift of children. Every once in a while, you'll see a child that'll come into this world and maybe the family structure isn't just exactly right. Let me tell you what that child probably needs, grandma, grandpa. They probably need a whole lot more love. Every once in a while, a single mom will come to Lancaster Baptist and she's been battered and mistreated by some bum. And she's trying her best to come to church with that little child and put that child in the nursery and learn about God. Boy, the last thing they need is some Pharisee looking down their nose. They need some people to say, welcome to Lancaster Baptist Church. And so while we raise the standard high because we believe in God's standard, we also believe in God's love for those who had less than a great upbringing and had less than a great experience. Now tonight, I want to tell you that once you realize these children are a gift from God, God says, then I want you to know that unless I build your home, you're in vain to try to build a home. Unless God, who is the author and originator of the family, is the one that is the general contractor in the building of your family, then your family's going to fall and utterly fail. And a lot of times we get proud. A lot of times men say, I don't care. I can make it on my own. You know, the truth is you can't even cook a TV dinner, number one. And number two, since when do we cop an attitude of I can make it on my own when we stood at an altar and said to this dear lady, till death do us part? You see, you making it on your own, those days are long, long gone. God has put you together in one flesh to make it together according to His plan. And so how do we build? Let me give you a few quick thoughts. First, we must build our families with devotion. The Lord wants us to build a family with devotion. And that love and devotion should be expressed. Now, some of you are not embarrassed to help me with this little survey. How many of you grew up in a home where love was expressed by mom and dad? Let me just see your hands. How many of you grew up in a home where you maybe hardly ever heard your dad say, I love you? Let me see where you are, all right? So some different kinds of families, right? And that's just kind of the way of life. But I want you to know that all of you who are saved have a heavenly Father, and He is highly expressive. For God so loved. God is love. Herein is love. We love Him because He first loved us. Now, folks, there's a lot of things that we could be troubled about when we put our head on the pillow. But how many of you are just thankful right now you don't have to put your head on the pillow at night and wonder, does God love you? And if you ever wonder about that, just open up the book and He'll show you. Now, God wants our families to be a place where love and devotion is expressed. This was how Paul ministered in the church at Thessalonica, 1 Thessalonians 2:7. We were gentle among you as a nurse cherisheth her children, so being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but our own souls. Paul was willing to write under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we loved you guys. We were glad to have part in your life. And he was expressive of his devotion. Psalm 139, 14, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. You see, we can praise God because we know he loves us. Moms and dads, let me encourage you. Dads, let me encourage you first. The best way to help your children develop well in the home is to express your love for their mother. One of the greatest ways to love your children is to expressively show your love to their mother. You want to increase insecurity? You want to push them into the little media and game life and finding friends out in the streets, maybe someday in the gangs? Then just breed instability in the marriage. I don't care what you buy your kid or what brand of tennis shoes they wear. If we're not building a strong marriage, we're not giving them what they need most. Love your spouse and express it. And let your wife or husband know you love them and appreciate them. Ladies, thank your husband for his sacrifice and labor. And wives, men, thank your husbands. And men, thank your wives. And be expressive verbally towards your children. And let them know how much you love them. I'll tell you, it's a joy to just let a little child know what a blessing they are. And they like to let us know back. And we want to have that kind of a family. So express your love verbally. Secondly, express your love personally. Jesus said concerning the children in Luke 18, suffer the little children to come unto me. Guys, let me tell you something. When you're working hard and you're going through the rigors of trying to establish yourself in a career, it's very easy to come home after a hard day's of work with the idea that everybody owes me. My wife owes me a meal, a back rub, the kids owe me some quiet time. Everybody owes me. And yet the fact of the matter is there ought to be a time there when we get home. Hey, take a shower, do what you need to do to unwind, have a little break. I understand that. But then take some time to minister to your children and to let them know that you love them. Let them crawl up on your lap. Have wrestling time with them. Play softball with them. Have time where you let them know they're special and God is at work in their life. And see, the Lord wants us to build with devotion. And God designed the family to be a place where love abounds everywhere and where people know, listen, I'm told that the vast majority of inmates in the California prison system this evening, and I've read some reports of over 80% of the men in prison were raised without a loving father. They had no father figure. They found an authority figure out on the streets that said, hey, go do this and you'll be cool and go steal this and we'll accept you and wear some baggy drawers and you'll be accepted. And I'm telling you, dads, if our children don't find it from us, they're going to find it somewhere else and you may not like where they find it. Take time to verbally express your love to your children. Secondly, God builds with devotion, and secondly, He wants us to build with doctrine. Doctrine. He wants us to establish guidelines whereby our children can live their lives. Now, doctrine is a set of beliefs. What is doctrine? A set of beliefs. Every family, then, should be a Bible institute, a place where the children are gaining a set of beliefs. And one of the biggest mistakes that good Christian families make is they think that when they pay a tuition check and put the kids in a Christian school, then that's their religious training and they don't need it at home. But let me tell you, my friend, God does not say to us to give that job over to the school. He wants this to be a partnership. He wants doctrine to be taught in the home as well. Proverbs chapter 4, if you'd turn there, please. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse number 1. Look at Proverbs 4, verse 1, to understand that the Christian home is a Bible institute where doctrine is taught. Proverbs 4, 1. The next book over from Psalms, Proverbs 4, 1. Hear, ye children, the instruction of a father. Now, how are they going to hear it if they're not getting it? Hear the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. Now, Proverbs was written by Solomon to his son Rehoboam. But God has placed this in the Bible for us to learn the pattern between a father and a son. And it says, for I was my father's son, tender and beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments and live. And so it says, I give you good doctrine. Now God wants the family to be a place of devotion, love. But it also is a place of doctrine. Now rules without relationships oftentimes is a very difficult setting. And so the doctrine will provide the rules. The love provides the relationship. So at the foundation of a Christian home is loving devotion. And we build upon that with doctrine. We build upon that with guidelines for our children. One verse in the book of Proverbs says, remove not the ancient landmarks. Children are not going to be ruined by strictness or by rules. What ruins children is harshness or anger. But having some standards or rules in your home has never ruined a child. It is oftentimes the spirit that will bring about destruction in their heart. Now, when we speak about giving good doctrine, we're speaking about teaching honesty and respect. I believe young men need to be taught how to treat a woman. They need to be taught. Mother is the princess of our home. And when mother asks you to take out the garbage, or when mother gives you an instruction, you're to listen to your mommy. And they will learn how to treat women in this world by how father treats mother. If a woman is treated as a second-class citizen, if she's yelled at, if daddy's caught looking at bad things on the TV or the computer, then a little boy will get in his mind that a woman is just that. But when he sees daddy living a life of integrity, and when he sees daddy treating mother in a certain way, you know what you're doing, guys? You're training somebody a good husband someday. You're training up a young man of integrity, honesty, discipline, patriotism. I give you good doctrine. Now, the teacher then of this doctrine is the parent. Moms and dads teaching the truth, Deuteronomy 6:6. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And so God has called us, first of all, to establish homes of devotion, love. But secondly, God builds with doctrine. And the pillars that hold up a family of distinction are pillars of truth, pillars of doctrine, pillars of truth. 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, the Bible says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Paul said, you know, Timothy, you had a godly mother and you had a godly grandmother. Let me just pause right here. Timothy did not have a saved father. He was an unbelieving Gentile man who by all biblical records never believed on Jesus Christ. So if you are a single parent, let me say to you that you and God are a majority. And that one of the greatest preachers of the first century church, Timothy, was raised up by a mother and a grandmother who gave good doctrine to that young man. And thank the Lord for that. But the teachers must be the parents. And the keeper of doctrine must be the heart. And one of our responsibilities here at the school and church is to challenge young people, not just mentally, but spiritually. Proverbs 4:3 said, let thine heart retain my words. Let thine heart retain my words. Now look, it's a beautiful thing when the kids can quote verses. And mentally and academically, that's always a blessing. But it's even more beautiful when those verses are making a difference in their lives. And so the keeper of the truth is the heart. Now God says, if I don't build your house, all your work is in vain. All your overtime, all your vacations, all your ideas, all of it is in vain if God isn't in the middle of it building up the home. So how do we build? God says, I want you to build with devotion. I want the home to be a place where my love is known for all members of the family. I want the home, secondly, to be a place of doctrine where my truth is known and my truth is understood. Thirdly, if we're going to build God's way, then we must build with godly discipline. Godly discipline. Now the summer is coming. And the Bible is clear. Children, obey your parents, Ephesians 6, in the Lord, for this is right. honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, there are a lot of extremes in parenting. Sometimes I'll meet Raging Ralph. Here's the guy that grabs his kid's arm out of the arm socket at McDonald's because he wanted to touch a Happy Meal. And he's always a rage. Then you meet the passive Paul. He's the most permissive parent. The kid can be standing there lighting the church on fire, and he says, "Isn't that cute?" And both extremes are destructive. The child that is harangued in anger begins to sense a lack of love. And believe it or not, the child without discipline and boundaries senses a lack of love as well. So God gives us two very important words on how to build with godly discipline. And we've studied those recently, but in Ephesians 6 and verse 4, the words are very clear. The nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's say that together. The nurture is that process of education. And children many times are like wet cement. Whatever falls on them makes a great impression on them. And it's amazing to see a little child. We're watching that again now with our grandchildren, especially little Camden. The things that just impress him and touch his heart, and he remembers, and his eyes get big. And you'll say to him one time, and the next day he'll repeat that over again. That's why moms and dads who care shouldn't have HBO in their family. Say, "Show me that in the Bible." All right, Philippians 4:8. How about this little verse? "I will set no wicked thing before my eyes." I can show you in the Bible if you want to go that route. But I'm just simply saying that with a child being like wet cement, so impressionable, we want to nurture them in God's holiness. We want them to have a home environment that is free from filth and cursing and wickedness. The nurture of the Lord is a process of nurturing a child's heart in the ways of God. And then we're to bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, and that is encouraging but also warning them, helping them to know when they do something that is wrong. I heard about a little boy in church, and it was a Lord's table like we had last week, and he was 4 years old, and his mother said, "Son, you can't take the Lord's table yet. You've not yet been saved, and you're too young to take that. You can't take it." After a while, the offering plate came by, and the mother gave the little boy a nickel and said, "Now you can put an offering in the offering." And he looked up at his mom and he said, "No, if I can't eat, I won't pay." Now, whether he should be disciplined for that, I'll leave that up to you. But as a whole, the average child today is not properly admonished because parents are too lazy, because parents want to be buddies instead of parents, and because parents are not obeying the Bible. It is as if they would say, "You know, his bedroom isn't cluttered, it's just passage restrictive." It is as if they say, "You know, he doesn't have unkept hair, it's just rebellious follicle syndrome. It's not that he's talking in church, he's just abundantly verbal. It's not that he's sleeping in class, he's just rationing consciousness." And the list goes on and on today. People have a way of just excusing away their children. "Well, he's that way because of what happened once, and he does this because of this or that," and on the list goes. But we as parents must say, "Wait a minute, disobedience is disobedience, sin is sin. And Johnny, if you cross that line, I love you and I'm going to hug you like crazy after we have some discipline. But if you cross that line, you're going to know that there's a price to be paid." Oh, it's so important. D.L. Moody once was asked, "How many converts did you have at the revival meeting last night?" And he said, "I had 2.5. And they said, "2.5? You mean you had 2 adults and 1 child? He said, "No, I had 2 children and 1 adult. When a child is saved and brought up in the way that I'm preaching tonight, there is the potential for a life of service to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it's awesome when a 55-year-old guy gets saved. It's awesome. And we were witnessing to a guy this morning after church, and I hope he gets saved. But you know, when someone's saved at midlife, they've only got half left to give to the Lord. But think of the potential of these kindergartners. If you moms and dads, and if all of us as parents and grandparents, will do what God has called us to do. Build God's way. God says, I want you to build with devotion, love. I want you to build with doctrine, that's truth. I want you to build with discipline, that's nurture and admonition. And finally, he says, I want you to build with right decisions. I want you to make right decisions for your family. As we close, turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. How can we make right decisions for our family? And I'm going to tell you a little secret. It's going to come from this book, God's Holy Word. 2 Timothy 3:15 shows us how Timothy's family made right decisions. It says this, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. Would you say that much with me? Ready, begin. And that from a child. How many of you would agree with me that these kids are off to a good start? From a child they have known the Holy Scriptures. From a child. Now listen, the average child in the world, they know the names of the rap stars who just committed murder. They know the names of the rock and roll stars who commit immorality and live like animals from one partner to another. They know the gang signs. They know all of the latest things of this world. And they know it from a child. They know curse words at age 5. How many of you get amazed at what little kids know these days? But God says, Timothy, when you were little, you were in the Bible. From a child, you knew the Holy Scriptures. Listen, don't ever get to thinking that Christian education is a discretionary matter. Don't ever get to thinking that investing in your kids is a discretionary part of your budget. Let me tell you what's discretionary. McDonald's or In-N-Out or Taco Bell or some other form of life. But when it comes to training your children, may I just encourage you, keep giving them your very best. So that from a child they can know the Holy Scriptures, which are able, notice this, to make thee wise. The Scriptures are able to make thee wise. And they're going to make us wise to the very important matter of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so I close with this thought. We need to help our children make right decisions. Now every once in a while I'll meet a parent that's either rebellious towards the Bible or secular humanist in their orientation. They say something like this, well, I just believe in letting my children experience all cultures and all religions, and then they can just choose whatever they want to choose. Now that thought process is foreign to what we're teaching from the Bible tonight. In fact, the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. It's not multiple choice. You don't open the cabinet for your three-year-olds and go, okay, now, there's some Ajax, there's some Clorox, there's some chlorine, there's some Windex, and there's some water. Now, you figure out which one's the water. I mean, parents like that should be incarcerated. So why would you say, well, here's Hinduism, here's Mohammedism, here's Christianity, here's Catholicism, here's nothing, here's atheism, just figure out which one, Johnny. I'll be over here worshiping God in Yosemite. That's what they say. No. God says it's our responsibility to help children make decisions. We have been given the gift of children to help them learn and grow, first about salvation. And this past week, I was doing some interviewing for some video projects for the 25th anniversary, and I was asked, what are some of the highlights of the ministry here? And just immediately I began to think about people who've been saved. I mean, I didn't flinch. And I can tell you, I recall when each of our children prayed to accept Jesus Christ, and if God called me off this planet right now, that's the most important thing I could tell you, is that my children are saved and I'm going to see them again. Make sure you lead your children to the Lord. The time is different for every child, I understand that. But lead them in the way of the Lord. Lead your children in the way not only of salvation, but lead them in the way of separation. Separation. Now listen very carefully here. I want you young boys that are talking in the back right now to look right here at me before I call your name. Young men, 18, 19 years old, need to hear this, but all of us need to hear this. Once a child is saved, they need to be taught to separate from the things of this world. Now, when a boy is involved in rock and roll music or pornography or drugs, or when his parents have disappointed him, or when there's other issues in a boy or girl's heart, they are real easy prey for the devil. But Daniel, in Daniel 1:8, the Bible says, Daniel purposed in his heart not to defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Now, I want you to understand something, that Daniel was a young teenager who said, I'm living in Babylon, but I'm not going to do what the Babylonians do. And I won't develop all of that. But whether it was their diet or their music, or watch this, bowing down to the statue on the plains of Dura, he said, I will not bow. And you, how many of you remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Remember that? And they said, if our God will deliver us, fine. But if not, we're going to be true to our God. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace. Now look, we need some teenagers who won't just be excited when they're at the mall or when they're riding around, who won't just be excited about the things of this world, but who'll be excited about the Word of God. But that's not going to happen. And in many cases, I can show you a teenager struggling, and I can show you an absent father. I said that at the introduction of this message. There's a price to be paid when a family say, well, my husband's a bum. Ma'am, please forgive him. Get counseling. We'll put a wrist around his ankle, a bracelet around his ankle, called Baptist monitoring. How's that sound? You know, like parole. You just call us, Pastor, my husband's doing, we'll zap him. How's that sound? And it's not, by the way, it's not just for the sake of the kids. The reason to have a strong marriage is for the glory of God. But it sure does help these kids. And tonight I'm just trying to help the kids. I'm trying to help the kids. So they need to be taught about salvation. They need to be taught about separation. And then they need to be taught to surrender to the Lord. I think of Abraham and Isaac. I think of how Isaac saw his father Abraham totally surrendered. Wouldn't it be wonderful if every child in here could say, my daddy is surrendered to Jesus. He loves Jesus and he does what Jesus wants him to do. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And I just want to challenge you tonight, build God's way. Let the Lord build your house. And when the Lord is doing the building, there's four ways we're going to build. Let's review and we're done. Number one, we're going to express what? Devotion. Say it with me. We're going to express what?
Devotion.
We're going to build with devotion. The word love is not a foreign word in a Christian home. It's okay for your children to see you hug your wife and give her a big old pucker kiss and tell her you love her. It's okay. It's okay to tell your kids, Johnny, I'm proud of you and I love you. And even when they don't have straight A's, it's okay to tell them that. I sure love you. You're doing a good job. And God says, I want my homes to be a home of devotion. And then secondly, we must build with what? Doctrine. Say, well, Pastor, you have some rules that we don't have. Look, no family has the same rules, but have some. You got to have some doctrine, the truth, some guidelines for the children, right? And we want to have good devotion, and we want to have good doctrine. Then we must build with discipline, the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And finally, we want to build, if we're going to build God's way, with right decisions. Right decisions. And God wants us to lead our children in the most important decision of all, which is to accept Jesus as their Savior. But after they're saved, to lead them in the ways of God. Now look right up here. Some of you single adults, some of you young men. Whether mom or dad are in church tonight, whether someone has disappointed you or not, look right up here, boys. You're not going to stand before God someday for your parents. You're going to stand before God for you. Even this very message tonight. And moms and dads, to whom much is given, much is what? Required. You've been given salvation. You've been given the Bible. You've been given this message tonight. And I just want to challenge you, do something with it. Let your children have a better home because of what the Bible says. Because unless the Lord is building the house, all that job and all that stuff is nothing unless we're building God's way.
Let me remind you that you can receive a daily devotional by logging on at dailyintheword.org. If you'd like more Bible study materials, you can also visit strivingtogether.com. anything we can do to help and encourage you in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, we would count that as a great honor. God bless you.